Matthews at large.
Bill Saltes at large.
And we have county staff with us. I appreciate that. And I'm Tom Julia, the at-large representative as well. We have Mr. Hamburger, who is on his way, our vice chairman, who will be here hopefully shortly. But we'll go ahead with our business tonight. I also want to acknowledge we have a number of guests here from the county, from one of the fire and rescue companies. We have Chairman York here as well. We have Supervisor Higgins. So we appreciate you all being here. And we're going to try to get to the fire and rescue items as quickly as we can. I want to make note on the agenda as well that we have one of our two new members here. I'm hoping, do we know if Dan's going to be coming?
We have not heard that he's not,
okay.
So we haven't.
Okay, well then let me take an opportunity. He did come to one of our December subcommittee meeting number two. Let me introduce to everybody Bill Saltes, who's the newest member of the Reform Commission. We should have planned some sort of trick on you, Bill, such as you have to take the minutes or something like that. And I didn't think about it in advance, so I apologize to everybody. We should have planned something. But, Bill, let me welcome you. Bill is an at-large appointee as well. So, Bill, if you want to say a word or two of introduction, we'd be happy to hear you.
I don't have anything prepared. I live in Leesburg. I've been in Loudoun County for about 20 years. Went to one meeting two weeks ago about fire and rescue, and it's very near and dear to my heart since 2 months after I moved into Loudoun County, my house was struck by lightning and burned down. So I support fire and rescue. But it's great to be here. I appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Gary and everybody else for giving me this opportunity, and I do my best to do a good job.
And if our other new member does arrive, it is the Algonquin District appointee. I will pause and give him the opportunity to introduce himself as well. Let's move to item three, the approval of our November 15 meeting summary, which you should all had received by email, and it's also on your table here in front of you. So I would ask everybody to review this for accuracy, and then if someone would offer a motion to approve.
So moved.
Ms. Muncy. Motion, Mr. Kearse, second.
Couple of
typos. Comments. Okay.
Under adult daycare, it's 501c3, not 501(3)c.
That is very correct.
And on page two, under fire and rescue, second paragraph, just a typo. It says is a need 4A. There's two 4As in there. Four comments. It's about 1, 2, 3, 4. Fifth sentence down in the second paragraph.
Oh, gotcha.
Got it. Good catch. Any other comments, amendments? So we have Ms. Muncy, if I can accept your motion as a motion with these amendments.
Correct.
Second. Mr. Pierce with these amendments. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the summary is adopted as amended. I'm just going to spend a quick moment here kind of teeing up some of what's going to come at the rest of the agenda, and for those who are not going to be here, maybe for the end of the meeting. Some of the things coming up for us in January, because I think we are going to have a busy January. The Board of Supervisors did indeed make a final decision regarding the assessment function, which we had made a recommendation on, and indeed they did follow the recommendation that we had made to them. The Board has also moved several of our items, adult daycare, the preliminary recommendations we made on fire and rescue, as well as our recommendations on Loudoun Water and our recommendations on the Economic Development Authority, all to the appropriate standing committees, which are going to take up each of those issues in January. And there are dates on there. I don't know if, Julie, is there anything new on the EDA Economic Development meeting, the committee meeting, Mr. Letourneau's meeting in January, but if we have
right
that.
Right now it's tentatively scheduled for January
30th.
But that is subject to confirmation at the first board meeting.
But let me just kind of note in advance that to the greatest extent if commission members can make any or all of those meetings, especially those of you who've worked on these issues, I would ask that you try to do so. As we get closer to this, and in fact as we discuss these at the end of the agenda, I want to try to identify individuals by name who will be attending those meetings. We've been asked to come to certainly the Finance and Government Operations Committee to speak to our recommendations, and to the extent that we're requested at for the economic development, we will as well. I will also be requesting of Chairman York that we have the opportunity to speak to the board at its second meeting of the new year on January 16th to give our next update on the general progress of the GRC on our various projects. You may remember we did a meeting such as this, a presentation in June, where we kind of reviewed everything. I think at that point it gives us a chance to recap what have we accomplished, what's still to be done, and then ask the Board of Supervisors if they've begun to think of any additional new ideas that they would like us to take up in the new year. I'm also going to, at the end of this meeting, I would like to cover, again, for those of you who may need to leave early, I know Ms. Matthews does, I do want to try to identify a few meeting dates for the new year, at least for the first quarter. So with that, any questions, comments? Can we move to Subcommittee 2 matters? Mr. Gordon's not here this evening. Ms. Matthews, do you want to get us started, and then we'll move right into fire and rescue?
Yes, we had a meeting of Subcommittee 2 on December 6th, and we had a robust attendance at that meeting. We approved the minutes. We talked at length with people from the principal volunteer fire and rescue departments, and particularly we were talking with them about funding allocations in fire and rescue, and with Woody and Bob having chaired fire and rescue, I'd like to refer Woody if you want to advance that.
Well, we were planning to get together with Mr. Will McDonald, and Bob's schedule and my attendance at Loudoun Hospital for a quick check up prevented that from happening in a meaningful way. So we are planning to re-engage and get involved with not only that, but a number of other things that we think need to be explored further, okay, beginning on the new year.
Thank you. Tom, do you have anything else on
22? Coming out of that meeting a couple of weeks ago, I think the conversation was such that we want to have a follow-up work by that subcommittee relative to the, if you want to call it the funding form or the algorithm, the funding itself that's going to the combined services, going to the volunteer companies in particular. In other words, to be very clear about this, we have not changed any of our recommendations that we already made to the Board of Supervisors in October, and those recommendations indeed have already gone to the Finance Committee for consideration next month. However, we believe that, and please someone tell me if I'm mischaracterizing this, but I think coming out of the last subcommittee meeting, we believe that there needs to be more work done by this commission in taking a look at the money. In short, this is my characterization, it seemed like the haves were getting richer and the have-nots were getting poorer. Some companies seem to be banking a lot of money, and other companies, particularly in the West, were having considerable difficulty keeping afloat. So it struck us that this was a relevant inquiry to complement the recommendations that we've already made to fire and rescue. Does anybody else, Mr. Hamburger, welcome. Do you want to add anything to that before we entertain our guests here?
No, I agree with your characterization. I would only note that our original recommendation had said that the funding scheme, the funding method needed to be looked at and should be looked at on an interim basis. So I think what we discussed in the last subcommittee meeting is additive to the recommendation that originally made, certainly not contrary to it.
There have been, in recent days, a number of documents that were forwarded to us by Mr. Rambo, who could not be here this evening. We also received from Chief Brower a documentation on a retention study. It is not our intention to take all this up this evening. These are really subcommittee matters, so we're going to refer them to the subcommittee for its meeting in January. But I think what it tells us is that, notwithstanding the recommendations, and I think they're very substantive recommendations that we've already made, there are still issues for us to address. And let me particularly for our all of our guests and members of the board in the room here, our objective has been to look at the health of the overall system, the combined system, and ensure its sustainability and ensure that the monies that are being allocated to all these companies by the Board of Supervisors are indeed responsive to the needs of these companies, their ability to stay healthy, and perhaps to revisit the formula by which this money is allocated, which, at least speaking for myself, on its face does not appear to be equitable. I was asked a few weeks ago by my supervisor, Mr. Higgins, if he could have an opportunity to come and speak to us this evening regarding some of his concerns regarding funding generally for the volunteer companies and specifically regarding Nearsville. I'm certainly thrilled to have Mr. Higgins here to speak to us, and I would ask that he do speak to us. I understand there are some other parties here that might want to speak to us as well. I would ask that we do that as part of Mr. Higgins' presentation, and my preference would be understanding that we have already made a recommendation on the specific issue of Nearsville, that we not go back over too much old ground. We take a look at where we are today and you know how this can move forward, particularly since our recommendation now sits in front of the Board of Supervisors. So, Gary, if I may, before we begin, is there one or other individual here that you might want to introduce to come up with you?
There's some folks from Nearsville that I would like to actually see some of my time, quite a bit of my time, too, in order to present some of the issues to you that they have with the recommendation.
Yo, my name is Jim Dunbarrell. I live in 2016 Nearsville.
You want to come up and take a seat?
Certainly.
Mr. Higgins, you want to come up and take a seat? Thank you. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission. I appreciate the opportunity to spend a few minutes with you tonight and meet with you and talk with you. I'd like to thank you all for your dedication and service to the county. I know that this has been a long process. You guys have been at it almost a year, and it still continues. A lot of work to be done. It's a thankless job, and no matter what you do, you can't please everybody, and I've had a little experience with that myself. I've read a number of the recommendations that you all have made, and done a lot of work. They're very thoughtful, and we appreciate that on the board, and the board will be considering those recommendations as we go forward in the budget process, which is just around the corner. I also read and believe that you all did a good job with the fire and rescue recommendations, and I personally concur with all of them, save one. I also listened to the tape when you had some interviews with folks with regards to that issue. One of the things that I wanted to make you aware of tonight that you may not have been, and that is over the past year, let me go back something. In your recommendations, there's a statement that I feel needs to be corrected, that the reduction in funding was recommended as part of the county administrator's FY13 proposed budget. That's not exactly accurate. The FY13 proposed budget, we gave the county administrator two scenarios. One was tax neutral, and one was minus 5%. Okay, this was in the minus 5%, but it was not in the tax neutral. This recommendation was not in the tax neutral part of that recommendation. And the prior board had given him different instructions. I think they were tax neutral and then 1%, 2%, or 3%. In the end, we started working with that 5% reduction and added items back into the budget, and we ended with about a three cent reduction in the tax rate. But over the past year and prior to me working on these meetings, the Board of Supervisors did choose to leave the funding for Nearsville in the budget, and with the idea that I was going to work with the folks in Nearsville to try and find a way to bring them back into the commission and get things back on a good balance. So over the past year, I mean, I personally have met with staff, including Fire and Rescue Commission, and county three times. Three times I met with the folks from Nearsville. Two times I met with the folks from Nearsville and their staff, our staff and those folks. I also had a couple other meetings with other supervisors on the issue. Probably have invested, I'd say, 12 to 16, maybe 20 hours of meetings to get sort of where we were. What we were trying to do was come up with a recommendation or a situation that was worked through with the staff and with the help of the staff to put this thing back together. Now, that item came before the Board of Supervisors, and an agreement that had been reached in principle was then sent to the Finance Committee, and it was to be run through the Finance Committee and some changes made to the agreement, we were told. anyway, since that time, I noticed in listening to your take and going through all these things that you all had not heard directly from the folks in Nearsville. And you know, we've spent a lot of time with them and trying to get all of these things out of the table and try to find a workable solution to them being out of the Fire and Rescue Commission. One of the things that I always have found out in life that the story that you hear, there's also another side of that story. And I felt that this evening, I wanted to give you all an opportunity to hear from the folks from Nearsville and hear what they had to say about some of the issues that they've been trying to address over the last 2 years. And since there is two sides to every story, I figured that, as Paul Harvey used to say, this will be an opportunity for you all to hear the rest of the story. I'd like to turn the balance of my time over to the Nearsville folks, over to Jim, and let them talk about their view of this situation, and then hopefully we will have some time at the end for some questions and answers. So if that's all right, Jim, I'd like to...
Mr. Higgins, if I may, before you do that, a question for you. You had mentioned the proposal that yourself and Vice Chairman Clark had brought forward to the board.
Yes, sir.
My understanding, and from our conversations with county staff as well, this is a proposal, but this is not a county staff proposal, that they are neutral. They're neutral in a matter such as this, that this is not, that the county staff is not proposing this. And indeed, in our conversations with members of county staff, Fire and Rescue, and indeed Mr. Rambo and the commission, that we did not find anybody who supported this proposal in the organized outside of the Nearsville company. We did not find any other party there. So I just wanted to be clear in my own mind when you say this proposal went forward, it is still a proposal from yourself and from Supervisor Clark now that's been referred to this committee. It is not a staff proposal, though, correct?
I'm not sure that I exactly concur with that. The series of meetings that led up to a meeting with staff and with the folks from Nearsville, we sat in a meeting in this building upstairs and talked about a framework under which they could come back in. So staff in that meeting, and which included Mr. Hemstreet and others, as far as Mr. Rambo is concerned, I had one meeting where Mr. Rambo was involved, and that was actually the first meeting I had on the issue going back sometime early last spring, but that he was in. At that meeting here, the outlines of a agreement were hammered out, but then we met up at Nearsville with those folks, and Tim was there as well again, and in that, Chief Brower, and in that meeting, we went through the agreement with the folks from Nearsville and reached an agreement that everybody in the room seemed to be happy with. This agreement was written by staff, not, and the contents of it wasn't directed by me or Supervisor Clark. Anyway, that agreement then was supposed to be presented at the Board of Supervisors meeting after the folks in Nearsville got a look at it. At that meeting, Jack Roberts said there were some issues with the agreement, that he wanted to shorten it substantially, and in that process we referred it to the Finance Committee at that point. If staff was opposed to the idea, nobody told me that.
Well, I raise this because I think it's an important point as we go forward in any conversations. Because indeed, I think it came to us, it's presented to us very differently, and indeed in my conversations with individuals involved, even in the past week, it is presented very differently. It is, first of all, not an agreement, it is a proposal. It's a proposal that the board needs to consider. So there is no agreement that has been reached. The staff is kind of the neutral party that brings forward the best possible case that can be brought forward to the Board of Supervisors, but it's still not an agreement until the board indeed takes it on and says it's an agreement. So I think that's important because we did not read it as an agreement of all parties as much as a proposal for how to address Nearsville's situation.
Well, technically, I would say you are correct, but when we wrote the agreement, which would be between the Nearsville Fire Company and I believe the county, and the county is represented by senior staff, everybody worked through their issues in that agreement. And then that agreement was supposed to be signed by those parties, or at least agreed to be signed by those parties, and run through the Board of Supervisors.
Mr. Garris?
Just for my own clarification, so this issue with fire and rescue in Nearsville, we've been talking about this for over a year. Both our commission, the committee as a whole, as well as the subcommittee, has been working on this. Up to the point where we finally made a recommendation, and now you're here tonight, and I'm just wondering what the purpose is. Is it to try to get us to reconsider our recommendation? Or was there why was there not an opportunity? Were you not aware that through the last year that this issue had worked, there was an opportunity to discuss this with the commission? I guess I'm looking now, after we've made a recommendation, why are we here tonight to revisit something we've already issued an opinion on? I just want to know where we're looking to go.
My question, may I ask something?
I'm not sure exactly who you're asking, but...
Well, I guess...
Well, number one, I would concur that we've made a recommendation. That recommendation is now in front of the Board, and I would tend to agree with you that at this point they need to take that recommendation up. And frankly, I would tend to agree with you that the best place for these arguments to be heard is at the Finance Committee of the Board. But that having been said, as a matter of courtesy to Mr. Higgins, we're certainly happy to hear from him tonight, and I think you would like to give the folks from Nearsville an opportunity to speak.
Yes, and I have no problem with that, but I guess I'm curious as to why over the last year, with all the meetings that have occurred, that this never occurred before, after this commission has made its recommendation. I guess that's my question. I have no problem hearing from him. I just kind of want to know what is expected of us at this point.
My answer would be, I think I absolutely agree that as a matter of courtesy and appropriateness, I certainly am happy at all times, at any time, to grant a request by any member of the Board to speak before this commission, on a closed matter or an open matter or any other matter. As far as is this the appropriate forum right now to take up the Nearsville issue, I would say that the appropriate forum is absolutely the Board of Supervisors and that committee. However, in the interests of certainly I think the most thorough conversation, ensuring that the representatives of Nearsville are heard, I have no difficulty that we hear a statement, certainly of concern. We've heard it from Supervisor Higgins. We'd certainly like to hear from you as well. I know Chairman York is here, and I believe would like to comment on it as well. So I'm happy to entertain all those comments.
I'd like to address some of those comments. I was not aware of your decision on this until very recently. That was released very recently. I would assume that you would have been aware of the current funding for Nearsville and the conversations that were going on regarding trying to put this thing back together. Now, I guess when you assume, perhaps you make a mistake sometimes. So at this juncture, with a recommendation that, in my view, is going contrary to what we have been working on for the same year at the Board of Supervisors level, that's why we're here. That's why I'm here.
And I think not that we should continue to go back and forth here, but our view would be, we did the due diligence on this. We were aware of this work. We were aware of the proposal that was brought forward. And in our view, we viewed it a little bit differently as more of a proposal as opposed to an agreement. So with that, could we go forward?
I think it's a perfectly valid question. I have a similar one. I really don't know how you've come to any recommendation or conclusion without one person from this gathering spoken to anybody from Company 16 years ago. How do you get to this conclusion or recommendation when you only get one side of the story? I mean, you're telling us that it's a done deal, more or less. There's nobody from 16 that's been approached by anybody.
Let me just make an observation. I'm not sure, I'm probably very much in the minority here, but I'm not sure that if we determine from what these folks have to say from Nearsville and Board Supervisor Member Higgins, that the information that we were provided by the staff and by the various members of the commission, if we were provided incorrect information, then I would sure want to go back and revisit what we've done. If we were provided appropriate information, then I think the only thing we have to do is apologize that they weren't aware that we were having this exercise and hear what they have to say. So, having said that...
I might already respond to that. I agree with you 100%. We can prove our situation, documentation, all the way through, from the beginning of this, from the very beginning of our problems. We have everything documented. Nobody's taken the time or trouble to read or even look at the documents, as far as we know.
Well, we've looked at about this many pages of documents, and I looked at a lot of stuff from Nearsville, from the Nearsville situation. I think I have read at some point in this process everything that you all have presented to just about anybody that we have talked to in addition. But you're right. We could have made sure we had an opportunity provided for you to come. Others have come from other fire and rescue companies.
We're in a slightly different situation today.
Okay. Well, everybody's different. One thing we've learned is that there's no one company that's the same as any other company.
We're the only company that withdrew from the commission.
If I may, let me recognize Mr. Walker first, then Mr. Kearse again.
Okay. I'd like to agree and concur with Woody Turner here. And it's bothered me all along. This is almost the only group segment, division, or whatever that we have addressed, that we've singled out, and it's been a total one-sided or ex parte situation. They've had no input on this whatsoever. It's bothered me all along that we've been making decisions and we've had nothing that has come forward out of them. I didn't think we would single it out because none of the other eight items on there were targeted at one area except number eight. We've already gone past this. We've made the decision, the board has. And as of record, I voted against it. I single that one out. But if we have made a mistake on this board, I'm willing to tell you, all right, let's have another look. I'm not going to look and say that we've already done this thing and it's over. So if something needs to be readdressed, let's readdress it.
I would note that we did have a unanimous vote on the recommendations, except for, say, recommendation A. We voted on that one separately, and there was one dissenting vote, and that was Mr. Walker. So, Mr. Kearse?
Well, part of the reason I asked the question is, if you remember when we first discussed this, I had a lot of reticence to make a... I felt, as Mr. Walker mentioned, that we were singling out one department, and why would our recommendation, which is pretty much more broad-based, single out this one? My understanding is we were asked to address this single issue by the Board of Supervisors. Therefore, we were going to address it. I was okay with that explanation, which is why now I'm hearing from the Board, but well, we think you need to hear the rest of the story. And I go back to, well, wait a minute. If the Board asked us to look into this, that leads to me to think the Board knows we're discussing this issue, so there was ample opportunity for the Nearsville Department to give us their opinion or their side of the story. And as we went through the documentation, I understand we didn't maybe have the information you thought we should have. But in my mind, since the board directed us to do that, we had the opportunity, and the Nearsville Department knew we were looking at this, we had the opportunity to review the information. If we want to hear new information, that's fine, and correct me if I'm wrong, but under the rules, we could have a reconsideration of that last vote because this is the first meeting after we made the recommendation, correct?
We could, so, if I may comment then, and Mr. Whitbeck, just...
And then that was my question.
A comment
from
my standpoint, in terms of how we got this issue, this was one of the most significant issues that came to us from the beginning of the commission, taking a look at the viability of the fire and rescue system, the funding of that system, and related issues having to do with personnel and such. So we've been working on this for a very long time. The Nearsville issue was not singled out initially as an issue per se. Why this became an issue embedded in the larger issues that we took up is indeed because a proposal was put forward by two members of the board, a specific proposal regarding Nearsville. Therefore, that proposal, I believe, did and does bear directly on our broader proposal of how you continue to sustain the system. And in my sense, in my view, in fact, that proposal inserted itself into our own discussion of the sustainability of the system. Mr. Whitbeck.
I mean, you stole my thunder, but that was the history. But I, point of order, somebody who voted in favor of the prevailing motion to make the recommendation, to approving the recommendation, can make a motion to reconsider that point, then it reopens debate on that motion. We can then presumably, if we're convinced, vote
against the recommendation, and then it goes back to the committee if we want it to, or it just simply fails. But otherwise, we're going to hear from two supervisors and individuals that took their time to come out and see us, and then what are you going to get for your time? We're just going to listen to you. We're going to say thank you very much, and it's going to go. So somebody actually has to move to reconsider this.
For the truth to come out.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I want to hear you out, no question about it, but when I hear you out, I'm not on the subcommittee to deal with this, so I don't know the background, but I'm just going to say, I'm going to hear you out, I'm going to hear two supervisors, and I'm going to go, wow, that I may be completely convinced, but there's no, the procedurally, we're concluded. So somebody really ought to, if this is important enough to us, somebody ought to make a motion to reconsider the thing, or otherwise, let's not waste their time.
Well, that's Mr. Chairman.
One moment, please. One moment. Let me, Ms. Muncy.
Well, to John's point, everyone did take their time to come tonight, and I would like to validate that by first hearing what they have to say, because I don't know if I'm prepared to vote on a reconsideration without having heard them out. And I don't think it's a waste of your time to listen to you. So I would really prefer to listen to what everyone has to say before we take any action on the results of what information they're giving us.
Yeah, I'm prepared to make that motion. I did vote for it. I probably will vote against my own motion. I don't know. But I won't know that until I hear what they've had to say, and I think we ought to keep an open mind about that.
At this point, we not entertain motions, but let's go ahead. I think what I'd like to do, sir, is if we can complete the discussion here from this gentleman, let him finish his statement. I think we've just got you started here. We've interrupted a couple times. Why don't you go ahead and tell us what you'd like to share with us this evening?
Well, this situation goes back 6-8 years. I was referred very shortly to a secretary, who has all the documentation that you could ever wish to see, more than most of you want. But it went back to when we were getting to the stage as a company of not being able to service our community. We asked the commission for help. The commission called a special meeting and came out to our station and told us that we would not get help until hell froze over. Their terms, their words. So with that, we said, well, surely we're going to get some help. They said no. We, in turn, went to the board of supervisors at the time. And the man we were dealing with was Jim Clem, who will gladly address this matter. Jim Clem advised us which way to go, what to do. He actually advised us to withdraw from the commission and throw our mercy onto the Board of Supervisors, which we did. The Board of Supervisors gladly accepted the situation, well, they accepted the situation, whether it was gladly or not, I don't know. But we never withdrew from the system. We withdrew from the commission. Because the commission, as far as we were concerned, was an obstacle. They were getting in the way of what we were trying to do for our community. And this is all documented. So this is what we did. We went directly to the Board of Supervisors with their blessing, and it was a majority vote that we went directly through the Board of Supervisors to obtain what we needed to service our community. Which they did. It took quite a while to get an ambulance back, etc., but within 6 months we had 12-7 and 24-7, and we've been, the community has been serviced correctly ever since. But it was our biggest battle was the commission. We were fighting the commission all the way. They're supposed to be there to represent us, the volunteers. It was not the case. And like I say, yeah, Lorraine can give you all the documentation. Any questions you have, we've got a document that will cover it. Believe me, we've documented everything for the last 10 years.
I want you to understand, if I may, what our charge is. Our charge was not to investigate the past proceedings of Nearsville or any other company or years past of what was happening. Our charge is a forward-looking charge. It's a charge to take a look at the sustainability of the system, viability of the system, funding of the system, the ability to recruit and retain. It was a very much a forward-looking charge. So while indeed with Mr. Turner, Ms. Matthews, Mr. Gordon, who are not here. A lot of this was looked at, and as Woody indicated, a lot of these documents probably indeed were looked at. Our charge was not to go back and try to figure out who was right or who was wrong, and I certainly appreciate and empathize with the concerns you've had and the experiences you've had, but that's not the charge of this commission, to look at that. Our charge was to say, going forward, how do we protect the system and how do we ensure that it's viable in years going forward? And that's why we weighed in on this particular proposal.
So you're telling me your charge was to single out Neasville and pick on them and come to this conclusion or this recommendation?
No,
As opposed to every other station that's out there in exactly the same situation that we are?
No, sir. I'm telling you that the proposal to make a change in Neasville was brought to the Board of Supervisors and for that reason came to our plate.
Furthermore, it is an issue of governance, and there is no other company in exactly the same situation as Neasville. And if we are looking at, you say the mission of the Fire and Rescue Commission is to represent the volunteers. No. The mission of the Fire and Rescue Commission is to provide for the safety of the citizens of Loudoun County. So our recommendations are geared towards ensuring that the Fire and Rescue Commission institutionally is able to carry out that mission. And the Fire and Rescue Commission unanimously voted not to readmit Neasville into the system. If there's a problem with the Fire and Rescue Commission that is preventing it from carrying out its charter, then the Board of Supervisors ought to look at that. Our issue is maintaining order in a system that must have order. So, you know, it's an issue of governance, and that's why Neasville came to the table.
Well, where have they failed, the governance? What haven't we done that should have been done in their community?
The Fire and Rescue Commission has unanimously voted twice.
That wasn't the question. Where have we, you're saying that we have failed in our governance. Where?
I'm saying that actually some of what you said tonight would only reinforce my original vote. Okay? If you're viewing the Fire and Rescue Commission as an obstacle that you have to go around in order to accomplish your particular objectives, you know, what you're describing there is a system in which there is no cohesion, is a system in which the Fire and Rescue Commission is unable to properly govern the combined system within Loudoun County. And that was fundamental to what we were looking at in our recommendation. So, you know, I am not necessarily seeing from your discussion tonight where I would vote to reconsider what it is we already recommend.
I really don't see, based on what we have done, nothing against our community. Nothing at all. And if we have, tell me what. We haven't done anything against them. We never withdrew our services. We never, all sorts of things have been, you know, all sorts of accusations that have been made. We have the documentation to say that, no, we've never left the system.
You just said you withdrew from the system.
No, from the commission, there's a difference. The Board of Supervisors at the time welcomed us with open arms because we were trying to cover our community. We never withdrew from the system, ever. So if we've broken our covenants, show me where, tell me where. Show me and give me the documentation. I'll give you documentation that says we have.
I think, in due respect, I think these are not the questions that should be asked of this commission. This is not our role as a commission. Our role as a commission is to look at structure going forward. And Neasville put itself kind of in the line of sight here on this issue by a proposal coming forward to change the status quo here of the condition of the Neasville company and to essentially plant a flag in a new county facility and create this agreement, which I would say is really still a proposal for the Board of Supervisors. So I'm respecting what you're saying, but I'm saying that these concerns should be more appropriately directed to a Board of Supervisors or to county staff or to the commission itself, which indeed is the governing structure, that whether we like it or not, and we have made significant recommendations about it, change the commission to make it more representative, but honestly, that is still the governing structure, and we too have to respect it. Mr. Higgins.
I'm not quite sure I follow the line or the logic that the Board of Supervisors voted to fund Neasville with the caveat that we were going to go try to put the situation back together and get them back into the Fire and Rescue Commission. In that process, we had a series of meetings to do just that. came to the point where we had an agreement in principle that was presented to the board to make a decision on one way or the other. The board chose to refer that to Finance Committee to clean that agreement up. I don't know where that is a message to you. I would think it would be just the opposite. It would be a message to me that the board is dealing with Nearsville and intends to deal with Nearsville, and it, ultimately it could be that they do not fund Nearsville. But in the interim, to use that as a prerequisite to recommend that they be defunded, I don't follow the line of the law.
I want to make sure the record is straight. The subject of Nearsville was already a matter of discussion within this commission prior to the recommendation. The motion that came forward from you and from Supervisor Clark. We were already talking about Nearsville. And one of the reasons that Nearsville came up
in funding for Nearsville occurred in early spring.
I understand. I'm simply saying that Nearsville was a topic of discussion in this commission almost from the very beginning of our discussion of fire and rescue, because we perceived that the manner in which Nearsville would be handled cut to the very viability and credibility of the combined system as governed. This was an issue that came up in our discussions with the fire and rescue community during our discovery process. So, you know, we are looking at the issue of Nearsville from a governance perspective. And in my view, you know, the Board of Supervisors should make a decision as to how it wants to govern the combined system. Does it want a commission that governs the system? And if so, it needs to respect that structure. And you have a commission that's two times unanimously voted not to readmit Nearsville. So
do you know why they voted not to readmit Nearsville?
Essentially because of a flouting of the rules by Nearsville.
They have requested that Nearsville provide them with an audit in order to consider their reentry into the commission. Nearsville had that audit done by an independent third party. That audit was then never considered by the commission, from what I understand. Now, I mean, I really don't know tonight that I want to get into the nitty-gritty of this, but
I would agree.
The Board of Supervisors has had an ongoing effort to try and put them back together in the commission within the operating structure umbrella that everybody accepted. That's where we were going, and that's what this was all about.
Mr. Kearse, and then Ms. Matthews.
I go back, we you know, going back and forth about this, we can do it all night long and then eventually get us nowhere. I really think, you're correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, I kind of guess you're asking, or we're being asked to look at this again, to possibly consider looking at this issue again. If that's the case, then we need to move to a motion to reconsider and act on that motion. Otherwise, we're not going to go anywhere with this. If we choose to do that, then we could maybe move forward and take some information and look at this issue again as a commission, which it sounds like you want us, what you're looking for us to do. That's fine, but I think we need to move forward. Are we going to go ahead with that, make that motion? Or if there's more people we need to hear from about this, that's fine. I just don't think the back and forth. I don't have all the notes and all the data we had before we made our vote with me, so this can be difficult to really determine anything. So going back,
I appreciate that. I'm going to take two more comments here from this commission, Ms. Matthews, Mr. Walker, and then I actually, I'm sorry, sir, but I again, if this is going to be the same kind of presentation, I think we've heard the presentation. What I would like to have a little different perspective here, I would ask Chairman York if, once we hear these comments from members of the commission, if you would add your perspective on this issue as well, and then I think we can bring this issue to the table, Mr. Kearse, as to what we want to do next.
Mr. Chairman,
sir, I'm sorry, I haven't recognized you. I'm going to stay with members of the commission, please.
Thank you. With respect to your first question, I feel we owe you the respect of an answer. We've held dozens of meetings. We had Subcommittee 2, led by both Woody and Bob, holding dozens of meetings on fire and rescue, as well as our full commission. And we had multiple public hearings as well in multiple locations early in the year. And as the Government Reform Commission, we are striving to find issues that require reform in order for our residents to be better served with more efficient government. We've worked hard to create a recommendation. It's been agonizing, and there's been a significant amount of detail. We've met multiple times with members of the commission. We've even had our own chairman of the subcommittee go to commission meetings. We've talked with the volunteer chief. We've talked with the chief grower as well multiple times. So I think we've gotten a fairly broad analysis, and we don't reach out like on our other issues, police versus sheriff, and a police department and a sheriff's department versus just a sheriff's department. When we looked at Loudoun Water, we looked at year-round school, adult daycare, you know, everything we do is in public, and it's all open and on record. And every time people come to us with the issues, we seek to understand and analyze them. Now, within that committee, Subcommittee 2, if this were to get reopened, I think it would be at Subcommittee 2 before it were to come to the full commission, because the committees are the ones that put the motions as part of the full commission. And our resident two leaders, Woody is one, Bob is the other, Bob Gordon isn't here this evening, have the mountains of documents and the understanding of all the sides of the issues. And to have us reopen the issues when we've been totally open with dozens of meetings and very analytical in our work is something I don't know that we have seen a compelling argument to say we goofed. You know, we've presented it in front of the board. My understanding, the board has moved it to the Finance Committee, where it resides now, and the Finance Committee, to the best of my knowledge, is meeting in
January 8th,
at which point that will be taken up there. So I don't know that we have governance and jurisdiction on this issue, and we've analyzed it, we have come to a decision. I'm sorry that you weren't in front of us before that. That may have had important value with respect to our final decision. But I think we've done our job.
Mr. Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Julian. I'd like to agree there with Ms. Harding that we have talked about this issue, and if we have goofed, to quote her, first I'd like to say, all right, if we have, that's reason enough to stop and back up and have another look. We may have. Number two, if there are any other people from Fire and Rescue, Dearsville, or other citizens that would like to have something to say, out of respect for time and consideration, providing it's something we haven't already heard, I'd like to hear it.
I'm going to recognize Chairman York.
Thank you, Mr. Julia. As one who has been around for a little while and appreciates the very sensitivity that this particular issue brings out, I'm grateful for the folks in Dearsville who have volunteered their time to provide public safety. However, I got to make a couple issues very clear. I'm going to speak of the corporate board. The corporate board includes the previous boards of supervisors who have made decisions along the line. Currently, we do have this issue going to the Finance Committee because of two supervisors, Mr. Higgins and Ms. Clark, because of their desire to go a different direction of what the corporate body has already made a decision on. To this point, the decision that the previous board of supervisors made, and Mr. Sandy, if I speak wrong, please correct me, but essentially because of staff recommendation, we made the decision in the new fire station simply to construct it, to remove ourselves out of the Dearsville station. When we get to the point that we can move into the new facility, that we would leave the Dearsville facility in the condition, in a good shape and condition, so that it could be used by others. And we were putting career staff in. Quite frankly, there was not coverage, which is part of why we made the decision to move forward with the new station where we could house career staff in this facility. Since then, as they're right to do, the two supervisors in that area have come forward, expressing concern and desire to go a different direction. This board of supervisors has only put the issue, I will say, on hold in terms of looking at it and possibly changing direction. The one exception that I have with Mr. Higgins' statement, I do not believe the proposal that is before the Board of Supervisors is supported by staff, because I and Mr. Burton worked very closely with Mr. Demstreet and staff leading up to the discussions and a decision by the prior Board of Supervisors to where we are now. Now, this board will have to look into this issue when we get into the Finance Committee and make a decision whether we continue on what had already been decided by the previous board, or whether we're going to do something on either in total what is being proposed by Mr. Higgins and Ms. Clark, or something in between. Again, there's a lot of history in here, but I believe the charge you have is not to look at the history and what has gone on. Your charge is simply to look at the system and ensure, one, that we are providing the service to the public, and in this case, fire and rescue, and ensure that we're doing it in a way that protects the lives and property of our citizens, do it in a way that is efficient and affordable. And your leave the charge is structure. And I would simply leave it at that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question then on the table for our members of the commission, is there anybody who would like to put a motion on the table for who was in the prevailing side of the previous vote, I believe that was in October, put a motion on the table to reconsider our recommendation on item 8.
Mr. Chairman, may
I'm not going to recognize.
I have information that is very relevant to that very question.
Mr. Chairman,
let me just, I realize there's some folks that want to speak. I would advise them on this issue, because I understand where the concern is, that the Board of Supervisors has public comment, which they are more than welcome to come and make at our 6 o'clock every board meeting, 6 p.m. They can come and speak. I would assure that Chairman Bona, the Finance Committee, will allow opportunity for conversation as well.
Thank you. I appreciate your interest, but I'm not gonna recognize any more voices on the floor. I'm sorry.
I make an offer of proof.
I'm sorry, sir.
Please. On the question,
I'm sorry,
of whether,
sir,
I should be allowed to speak.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm not going to recognize you. Thank you. I'm asking at this point, is there an interest on the part of the commission to put on the table a motion to reconsider our decision on item 8?
Mr. Julian, did I understand that it have to be somebody that voted in favor of that? Which excludes me.
That's correct. It would have to be one of the other members of the commission, and it could not include Mr. Moldover or Mr. Soltes. Where are you? There you are. Who are new members of the commission. So is there anybody else who wants to put that motion on the table?
I'll move that we reconsider the motion.
Okay, there's a motion to reconsider our motion on item 8 from October. Is there a second on that?
Can I second it?
Someone help me on parliamentary procedure. I don't believe you can. Is there a second on the motion?
You're effectively excluded from voting,
right,
by not being in the prevailing.
You're excluded from putting the motion on the table, correct. Is there a second?
Well, so we can get it heard and over with, I'm going to second it, but I'm going to vote against the motion, and I'm going to vote against it, not because of issues between Nearsville and the commission or anyone else, or Nearsville and us. That wasn't the reason for the decision that we made. The reason had, as you very aptly pointed out, had to do with governance and structure, and whether the commission that's been given the responsibility to govern and to set standards and criteria is going to be able to continue to do that in a meaningful way. And that was the basis for our decision. We felt it would not be good governance or good policy to set up a commission and then ignore them, and to have a staff that's professionally trained and then ignore them. That was bluntly the reason that we made that motion the way we did, and I haven't heard anything that anybody has said that changes that result. So I'll second it so we can vote on it. But
so let's vote. This is a vote on a motion to reconsider only. Okay, so
do we get discussion? Did I just briefly? I mean, going back to Barbara's point, I still have no idea whether I would reconsider, because all I've heard is a few statements from you, sir, that don't have anything backed up, which I'm sure you brought your evidence here. And I have not heard any, I don't know the background enough to be able to think about it. I'm afraid that we're going to let it go. And I've been looking for some of the minutes from the past Finance Committee, and I finally found in September, it looks like this was referred, they continued the escrow account, and they had to continue to occupy the facility, and then it was referred back to the committee. So it's not even, it's not even out of the committee yet.
Correct.
So, all right. Well, that's the thing is, I don't know anything about this because I wasn't in the subcommittee.
Any further discussion? I'm going to call the question. Ms. Munster.
Well, I regarded Mr. Turner's second as for the purpose of discussion. And one thing I would like to stress to everyone who came tonight before I go on into why I'm not going to vote for it is that while any votes we take to recommend things are binding to us, it is not a legislative action. The Board of Supervisors is the only body empowered to make a final decision. Our recommendations are not binding on the board. And while it is no doubt stressful to come tonight and feel that we have not heard you, any vote we take is not the final vote as to the disposition of your issue. That rests with the Board of Supervisors. And one of the things that was very clear to me, because as I've been going through my notes and listening, Nearsville was really singled out to us twice. It was singled out when the proposal was brought forth by two board members as we were nearing the conclusion of our process, but it was already singled out in the material we were given to review. And as we were reviewing those mountains of material, one of the huge issues to me was the tensions in the differences between all of the chartered companies, between the volunteer and the career staff, particularly in areas of uniform discipline, uniform funding, all of the tensions between the differing things that must balance together to provide this vital service. And one of the questions that came up in the subcommittee moving toward this recommendation was, if we make a special disposition for one company, what is the message sent to every other volunteer company that has a special issue that they would like to be heard or an exception made? So even in the absence of hearing the specifics of this one issue, I think it's time to move this to the board, especially since there is a proposal that is somewhere in staff, somewhere in committee, which whatever comes out of committee or staff is still not going to be a binding recommendation. The final vote and disposition of the issue will be taken by the 9 members of the board when it lands on their agenda. So I'm not going to reconsider. I've seen, I think, sufficient information to move it forward to the board level. And while I would be interested to read more information, I'm not prepared to reopen that massive issue.
There's a motion on the table.
Further discussion?
Mr. Walker.
I think what we've got here is we've discovered we just got too much to this that we didn't have before and we don't know now. So I'm not comfortable with that. I think there's just too much to this, and I'm going to go in favor of a reconsideration when it gets to that, if I have the ability to, I'd also like to take the opportunity to note, since I do think, Ms. Mallory, we are recorded on this.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to take the opportunity, and I assume the recorder knows it's me speaking as well, but to lodge my own protest that we have a citizen that's come tonight and has not had opportunity to speak to us, right or wrong. I'm unhappy with that. I'm uncomfortable with that. I won't go part of it.
At this point, sir, I actually...
May I identify myself for the record?
No, sir, you may not. Please. We have a process we're going to follow here. I would ask that, as I asked for Supervisor Higgins, if somebody wanted to speak, I asked for a representative from Nearsville, and that's how I would like to cover it. The issue for us today and in this motion, if you vote nay on this motion, you are affirming the action that we took as a commission. If you're voting yay on this motion, you will be asking us to reconsider this, our decision, for the merits, for process, for one or both. I would say to you that we have the Board of Supervisors having taken up the matter of our recommendations generally and referred all of those recommendations, including Nearsville and indeed including the proposal from Mr. Higgins and Ms. Clark, to the meeting on the 8th of January. So there is a forum already identified where any and all of these issues can rightfully be addressed. And to Ms. Muncy's point, we are simply a recommending body. The body that now has this matter in front of them is that is indeed the subcommittee or the committee of the board. I would also say, with due respect, Mr. Walker, our objective here is not to go backwards or hear history. Somebody said here earlier at the table that this isn't about going back to the history. I would implore all members of this commission that our role never was and is not today to go back into years and years of history of who said what. I am certainly empathetic, and we have all around this table heard a lot of issues regarding not just Nearsville, but other volunteer companies, and I think I speak for everybody here and say we're empathetic. But we have a forward-looking charge, as Vice Chairman Hamburger said, to look after the future of fire and rescue and its accountability to taxpayers and its accountability to public safety in this county generally. And it is on that basis that we made all of our recommendations, including this recommendation. So with that, I would ask at this point, by a show of hands, who would vote yay on the...
Further discussion?
One more. Yes, Mr. Kears.
I just want to comment. I won't support the motion. I mean, I would have wished that these folks had the opportunity, though I think they had the opportunity, would have come out and spoken sooner. Trying to go back and do it at this point, I don't think is appropriate. I also, given the number of meetings we've had with no folks that come out to speak, I would agree with Mr. Walker. I would love to give this gentleman 2 minutes to speak his piece and then move on from there out of pure consideration to him.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay. I'm gonna do this. Gentlemen, if you would identify yourself and then have a seat here, take a seat up at this table.
My name is Jim Mann. I'm the president of the Twin Hills Community Association, which is the service area of Company 16. We're the people that receive the services from them. I'm appalled that you would issue your memorandum of November 25th. It's got matters in it that are plainly false and misleading. And you went ahead and did this. I've never heard of your organization until last week. You went ahead and did this without speaking to the Company 16, which is the primary focus of the memorandum, making recommendations that are unbelievable that you would do that without looking at the facts. And I'm here. I'm a member of the bar of the state of Virginia. And I'm the chairman, president of the community association there. You have made a grievous mistake. And I'm right now preparing a letter spelling that out. Your recommendation to the commission, to the board of supervisors, is misleading. You'll find out within 10 days when I get done with this letter. I'll send copies to everybody who's listed as a member of the committee.
Mr. Whitman, close on.
I might also add that I have sent 3 or 4 very lengthy letters to the members of the Board of Supervisors. And if you have not read those letters, you've not seen the evidence that's available. Please don't do things like that.
Thank you for your comments. Yes.
The comments of the gentleman underscore exactly why I made this motion. If we are going to give, no matter what, we were going back in the past by allowing people to speak. We serve at the pleasure of the board. If a board of supervisors member wants to come speak to the group, that's their prerogative, and I think we should allow that because we serve at the pleasure of the board. The gentleman's comments underscore the reason why I made the motion. If we're going to give people an opportunity to come in and attack, which is exactly what you're doing, say it's misleading and everything, and you're entitled to your opinion, then we're effectively going back in the past, and we are not moving forward. We might as well do that for everything that we do, unless we have a formal motion to reconsider, follow the Robert's Rules of Order, and have further discussion, and then actually reconsider. Otherwise, you have no choice but to move on. And despite the courtesy, and I agree, we should give as much courtesy as possible. But if we give courtesy to everyone, we're going to have exactly what just happened. If people are going to come in and just make statements about our recommendation, and it will result in nothing. Supervisor Hickens took his time to come here, but he's not getting, unless we move to reconsider, there was no purpose to him being listened to tonight, and I think that's really unfortunate. So that's why I made my motion, because otherwise, these people are not going to be heard, Supervisor Hickens is not going to be heard. We simply allowed people to come in and vent about what they didn't like about our recommendation.
Perhaps I wasn't explicit enough.
I'm going to draw this to a close. So anyway, I just wanted to note that we're not going to debate any further.
Your group has sent a recommendation that was wrong, sir.
We've heard you. You've expressed your position. I appreciate that. I want to be clear. This commission was constituted on the first week in January of 2012. We have a web page. We've had that since the early part of the year. Our meetings are public. They are available in audio transcript. We have probably had articles about this commission in the local press, I'm going to say 36 times over the course of this year. Our work on fire and rescue has been reported to the board on at least 3 occasions that we had ongoing work on fire and rescue. So while I very much appreciate that you just became aware of us last week, we have operated in a very transparent manner in the public meetings throughout.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
The facts that were discussed with respect to Nearsville and our recommendation were very narrow. We specifically checked those facts with staff to the best of our ability. If you take exception to the facts that we based on, that's your right. I encourage you to communicate your exception in that regard to the Board of Supervisors. However, we acted in good faith, and we acted with the facts that were available to us. If you disagree, it's your prerogative, and you should critique the recommendation. You should critique it in the correct form. The correct form now is in front of the Board of Supervisors.
So, I'm calling the motion. By a show of hands, who would favor the motion to reconsider?
Am I eligible, Mr.
Yes, Chairman? You are. Yes, you are indeed.
I would.
Okay, I have 2 members. Let the record show Mr. Wetbeck and Mr. Walker. All those who would vote nay on the motion to reconsider by a show of hands. We have everybody? Okay.
I'd like to abstain on it.
Okay. Mr. Saltis wants to abstain. You actually can vote too.
I want to abstain.
Also abstain. So we'll reflect that our 2 new members of the commission have abstained. All other members here in attendance, including the chair, have voted nay. The motion therefore fails. Is there any other discussion from Subcommittee 2? In which case, I would like to thank Supervisor Hickens for coming in. I would like to thank you, gentlemen. I'm sorry I couldn't recognize you initially. I want to have at least a process here for how we're going to address this issue. Thank you all for coming in. I would like to take, if we may, about a 5-minute break here, and then we'll reconvene. I think this will be rather a brief, the second part here on Subcommittee 1.
5 minutes?
Right, 10 minutes. How about 10 minutes?
We'll do 7 minutes.
Or 7 minutes.
Well, no, 5 minutes works too, but I'm just...